This is Fresh Air. Bhaji is a snack food in England that comes from Indian cuisine. Bhaji on the Beach is the title of Gurinder Chadha's feature film about multi-ethnic England and the process of assimilation for English of Indian descent. The film takes place at a British seaside resort called Blackpool, where a group of Indian women go for a day of relaxation. These are three generations of Anglo-Indian women, and the film explores contemporary social issues, from family life to arranged marriages to sexuality to race relations. Gurinder Chadha, who is 30, has said about her generation who were born or spent their formative years living in England, "We occupy the space between tradition and modernity, between Asianness and Westernness. People like me have a plurality of influences, and my work is a celebration of this mixing and mingling." This is Chadha's first feature film, and she says she wants to challenge the limiting images of immigrants in England.
There is racism. We know there's racism. There are all kinds of problems, but there's also a pleasure and a joy. And what we're doing in Britain is creating a different type of culture, a different type of English culture, as well as a different type of Indian culture. And the music, the Bhangra music that I use in the film, is a testimony to that type of culture. And the idea is that I want to suggest that there is a kind of life that's going on that is not specifically Indian, that it is now becoming a very British thing, you know. And the success of Bhaji in Britain is really largely due to the fact that so many kind of white people have been going to see the film. So even though the cast is predominantly Asian, they are recognising the world that they know and recognise, you know, every day in that film. And it's a world that you don't normally see, because you normally see a kind of, you know, Howards End Edwardian variety of Britain in the cinemas.
How long have you lived in England?
All my life, actually.
You were born in Kenya, is that right?
Yeah, but I went to England as a baby.
And you're about 30 years old?
Yeah.
Okay. What has been then the evolution or the changing view of Indians that have moved to England? And what have you observed in your lifetime?
In terms of a younger generation compared to other countries where I go, like here and in Canada, you know, the Asian community is very confident and very at home with its kind of combined identities. You know, people are much more happy to be bilingual, for example, in England than I've noticed here or in Canada. People are much more confident about wearing their own clothes and, you know, kind of happy to mingle and move in between different languages and different settings, social settings. You know, I mean, it's great. We have raves, we have nightclubs, you know, where we play a lot of our own music and stuff. But we also have parties where we mix with all kinds of different people. And it's about being happy and being fluid and being able to move, you know, in between so many cultures, because we've come out through a counter situation where we've been countering racism, if you like, in the 70s as young people, with all the Rock Against Racism movements that we had to counter the rise of the National Front. It's meant that we've got a much more of an assertive attitude towards the people who might be hostile in the country where we live. And that in turn has given us a confidence and an ability to produce cultural forms, whether it's art or music or cinema, which is being, you know, enshrined as part of British culture.
Well, getting back to the film, there is a scene where a group of white, young white men are kind of menacing, threatening a couple of the women that are on this trip to the beach, and one of them spits on the woman who's driving the bus, who's part of the organizer of this particular trip, which made me think that the kind of assertive assault against racism that you've had to mount, that it's still there, that it's something you still have to deal with.
Oh, of course. I mean, the opening shot of the film is of an English butcher's followed by a swastika.
Right.
And that's to set the context of the film. But once we've done that, we have to move on. That scene in the service station is actually quite funny. It's supposed to be quite funny. And it's funny because of the reaction of the women, you know, when they sort of swear in Punjabi and sort of stick two fingers up at the guys in the bus. But most white people don't think that scene's funny. which is quite interesting because obviously they have to kind of deal with the racism.
There are a number of scenes in Bhaji, and I'm not sure I could describe them quite right, but they're filmed in a very soft light. It has a kind of a dreamy feel to it. I mean, it certainly it looks almost as the film director, you're going into someone's fantasy life or someone's unconscious. But it has this kind of softly surreal sexual quality to it. And I was wondering if you were imitating a certain style.
Absolutely. Spot on. I was imitating the style of Bombay commercial films, which are very popular in Britain because we have them on the television in Britain, and they're popular by all kinds of, you know, with all kinds of people. But what I was trying to do there was subvert the kind of British feel of the film.
Oh yeah, and you did,
by including these sort of set pieces from Indian cinema, but also within that, you know, for a lot of people in England, their main link with India is through these films. And as I was growing up, that's really what my link was with India, was through Bombay cinema. And the films very much are about, you know, that kind of reality. So they represent a very traditional viewpoint that Usher, the character who has these fantasies, is thinking at that moment. For example, there's a scene where Hashida, once the character Usher finds out that Hashida is pregnant, she has this fantasy where she imagines her going into a Hindu temple with a big sort of bulge in her stomach, with a blonde wig and a miniskirt on and a cigarette in her hand, and she lights the cigarette from the holy flame in the Hindu temple. And that's an aspect of her thinking, you know, how wild this woman has become and how westernized she is, and she has no shame, you know, in this sort of traditional Indian setting. But that sequence is lifted from a very famous Indian film called Burabor Bacham, which means east or west, which was made in 1970, where the character comes to England, the main character comes to England to study, and finds that the people he's staying with in England have children who are completely westernized and wild, and the girl walks around with a long blonde sort of wig and a miniskirt and has always got a cigarette in her hand. So I was sort of being quite clever there with a reference to Indian cinema.
I'm speaking with filmmaker Gurinder Chadha. Her new film is called Bhaji on the Beach. More after this short break. This is Fresh Air. My guest on Fresh Air today is filmmaker Gurinder Chadha. Let me ask you something about your parents. Now, you were born in Kenya?
Yeah.
And did your family move from India to Kenya? Your parents?
No, my grandparents.
So your parents then were born in Kenya?
Yes.
Do you think there's any similarities or anything that you share with your parents, I guess, being Indian in Africa versus being Indian or of Indian origin in England?
Oh, absolutely. I think there is a huge difference between Indians in Britain who are from East Africa and Indians from India. I find it very hard often to get on with Indians from India, whereas most of my friends are Indians from East Africa. And there is a reason for that. It's because the Indians from East Africa are already twice removed or twice migrants. And so they have been able to kind of uphold a sense of culture and a tradition in a much more balanced way already, having already done it once. So there isn't the same kind of intractableness. I mean, there are in other ways, but there are differences, you know. There are differences, and I think, like, one, for example, is that it was very important to my parents that both myself and my sister went to university and were financially independent and not having to rely on anyone.
That's very different.
That's very different, but that's very common among East African Asians.
Tell me how you got interested in films.
Well,
how far back does that go?
That goes back to about 1980 something, when I was at university, and I had to do a dissertation, and I chose to do my dissertation on images of women in the media, which then later on I was asked to rewrite as an article, and I got very interested in the power of the media and the power of film and how important it is in terms of constructing ideas. And sometimes quite strange ideas that people have of different communities, you know, and us as women. So out of that, I became quite interested in exploring those areas more. But rather than sort of stay on that level and just study them, it became obvious to me that what I needed to do was actually be in a position of power and try and control those images myself. So I set about very early on, working towards being in a position to be on the other side of the camera.
Well, you have a journalism background too, don't you? Didn't you study journalism for a while?
Yes, I did. And I started off with journalism. I started off with broadcast journalism so that I would move from journalism to reporting and then from reporting to directing, as opposed to going through the kind of more technical side of filmmaking. I've never been to film school, but no. I studied as a journalist. And I think that is really that helps me a lot in my filmmaking because it allows me to be very focused and clarified in terms of what I'm trying to say and how I structure the narrative and how I structure the film in order to move the story or get the story out and never lose sight of the story. Very kind of basic journalist principles that I apply to filmmaking.
Well, you began with documentaries. Those were some of the first films that you made.
Yes.
And one of your documentaries is called I'm British But.
Yes.
Does that get to what you were trying to say?
That was my first film, and that was a film that I made really in tribute to Bhangra music, which was this music that came up in the 80s, which was very much a combination of British pop music, American black music, and traditional Punjabi music. And out of that fusion came all kinds of other mixes. Like you have nowadays, you have House Bhangra and Raga Bhangra, and jazz Bhangra, and the music has, along with the music came a whole fashion culture and a whole kind of night culture, and that's been really important to me in terms of creating a generation, if you like, that is what I said earlier about being assertive and being fully confident about being able to move very fluidly, from one community to another, from one culture. And not only are those boundaries blurred in terms of those two communities, I mean, our language is so combined too, but not only when I speak Punjabi, not only do I kind of also speak English within it, I also actually still speak Swahili within it.
And that comes from Kenya, right?
That comes from Kenya, from my parents' language. So there is this fluidity going on. And I'm British, but I interviewed four young Asians, one from England, one from Scotland, one from Northern Ireland, and one from Wales. And the idea was to use them with their brown faces, if you like, but with their very peculiar accents to the country of their origin. And by doing that, I subverted this whole idea of what it was to be British, because each of them preferred to be called, I don't know, a Scottish Pakistani, or the Irish guy saw himself as Northern Irish. And what was interesting about that film was not only did it speak to people like myself, afterwards white people would always come up to me and say, well, I'm not really totally British, my mother was this and my father was that, or I've got Hungarian blood in me. Or so there was a real resistance to be identified with that kind of nationalist label.
That's filmmaker Gurinder Chadha. Her new film, Bhaji on the Beach, opens tonight at the Film Forum in New York City and will open nationally in June. Here's music from the film. This is Fresh Air.